Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Hallelujah. Man, that was good this morning. This is Jesus sending out his disciples. How many of you are a disciple of Christ? Whether you are in the fivefold, as we would term public ministry or pulpit ministry of some sort, we're all disciples of his. So I want us to read that, or read this tonight, looking at that in that perspective. Verse 1 of 9 says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip." A scrip was a leather pouch which you could place provisions in there. Elaine loves sandwiches. I heard that today. So if you would have not had your pouch to put sandwiches in, you might have said, "I don't know if I'm going on this." No, you would have. No scrip. No pouch, nothing for provision, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Now that's in 9. Let's turn over to 10, real close. That was with the 12. And then it says, after these things, the Lord appointed other, besides for the 12, 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. So here's his way in antiquity to be able to get out there and send advertisement and send his forerunning into the places that he's going. He, besides for the 12, there were 70 also, and he divided them into 35 pairs and said, go into all these cities. I'm going to go out, and I'm soon going to tour these cities, go into these villages, these towns, go in, and he begins to instruct them what to do. In verse 2 it says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. Now, I wasn't talking about not wearing any shoes. One place it says, I think it was in Mark, don't take an extra pair of shoes. And salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be unto this house. If the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Praise God. Hallelujah. One other verse is in chapter 22 of the same book, Luke. Look at verse 35. This is at the Lord's, what we would commonly term the Last Supper, just before he's going into the strait of getting ready to be crucified, and he's with his disciples, and he's here only with the 12, and he said unto them in verse 35, he's remembering back, and asking them this question. When I sent you and he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And what did they say? What did they say?
Nothing.
Nothing. Now, the next verse, if we went into it, he gives a little different instruction, and we're not going to go into that. There's a reason for that, what he says in verse 36. But they are answering the question in verse 35 of something that he sent them out earlier in their ministry and his ministry. And he asked them simply the question, when I sent you out, and I said, take no script, no leather pouch, no stave, no extra pair of shoes, no extra coat, and I sent you out, and what he was doing was this. He was trying to get them to get in a place of putting no dependency upon the natural. No dependency upon the natural. We could say it based on the things we're hearing this week. No dependency on the flesh. But their dependency was on Christ and on His provision as sending them forth to preach the kingdom of God. So here He's asking them, He said, can any of you guys, street vernacular, can any of you remember when I sent you out, did you lack anything? And we've read right here where it says, they all said nothing. And I'm sure that they were also answering in their memory for the 70 as well. I mean, had there been any of them that thought back and said, well, you know what, Brother Bartholomew, I remember he came in, and when he come in, one of his sandals was blew out. And he marched all the way from such and such a city, and his sandals, you know, he didn't have. All of them answered unanimously, we didn't lack anything. Hallelujah. Is that a testimony? And they were testifying of everything that Christ had done for their provision when He sent them forth. How many of you believe He'll do the same thing for you? Now, I can tell you by personal experience. Many of you have heard my testimony before, but just in brief synopsis. In fact, this is the month. March is the month that in March of 97, I met Pastor Jim, and I don't know how much we conversed at the first conference, but I met him in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at our pastor's church, the Family Prayer Center, and our pastor is Pastor Dave Roberson. For years, I lived in, and still do, in Florida, in Fort Myers, Florida, where Pastor Dave would come and preach at a church, almost right across the street from where I lived, but I did not know him. And he would come and he would speak at conferences. About the end of 96, I began to get real hungry for the Lord. I began to pray and seek the Lord. I was already pastoring a church that I had started in a place called Immokalee, Florida. And my wife and I were driving over there 3 or 4 times a week. I had a pretty large construction company, and I had several men working for me. And I began to get real hungry, and I said, Lord, I know You're doing something in the earth. I want to know what You're doing. Please send me in the direction that You would have me to go. Somebody started giving me Dave Roberson tapes. Is that a testimony that many of you have out there? Isn't it amazing when you get hungry? You know, the prerequisite to change is hunger. You don't want to stay like you are. That's why a lot of times when you give a CD to somebody, or you give a book to somebody and say, this has changed my life, and you go back 2 months from then and say, what do you think of it? And they say, well, I haven't read it. I haven't listened to it. You know why? They're not hungry. When they get hungry, they'll eat the same good food that you're eating. And we began to listen to those tapes, and somebody invited me to it was the Spring Prayer and Power Conference in 97, and that's where I met Jim Martin. The first service that I was out there, a man, I'd never even seen Dave Roberson, a man walked by in the service going up to minister, and I thought to myself, you know, I don't know who that guy is, but I want to be like that guy. I could feel the anointing. When he began to speak, I knew then that was his voice, because I'd heard his voice, though I had not seen him. At that time, I don't even think there was a picture in the foyer like there is now. From that conference, God began to change my life. I began to deliberately do the things that we are teaching this week and the things that many of you are hearing continually. Begin to pray in tongues. Begin to seek the Lord. Begin to do certain things like that that had begun to be one of those four pillars that Pastor Jim talks about. As I began to pray in tongues, the Lord spoke to me that particular week and said, son, if you'll go back, I will launch you into full-time ministry. At the time, I had a large construction business. I did not know how to get out of it. I had so many contracts. I had a large house. I did not know how to get out of that. I was trying my best to go full-time in the ministry. And there were so many different things that was standing in my path. But thank God for the power of praying in tongues. And thank God for a father that will deliver you to whatever he's called you to do. I'm talking about myself tonight because I'm testifying like these disciples. If he asked me after an 18-year journey, if I come back and he asked me after an 18-year journey, son, after all these years, what have you lacked? I would say this, I have lacked nothing. And many of you can look at me tonight and know that I've never lacked a meal. We launched into ministry by the power of the Holy Spirit. God gave me over those next few months as I began to pray in tongues. If you said to me, if I give you this short testimony and say, man, Pastor, you really did something. I didn't do anything. How many of you know when grace comes on you, it's as if you're not the one doing it. All you're doing is agreeing with the strength that he gives you. You have to agree with it. You have to follow it. You have to be obedient. Something came on me after 3 or 4 months. Actually, it was from March to August. In August, the Lord began to show me some things. He showed me how to actually, after 4 years of paying on a house and having quite a bit of equity in it, he showed me how to give that house away and walk into the ministry. He also showed me how to give my company away and how to walk out of it. When I did those things, there was such grace upon me and there was a launching. But the little church that I was going to, I'd like to tell you the end of the story is, we're a bustling 1,000 people church, and thank God for those. But after 18 years, we're still a small church. Believing for revival will not always be a small church. Believing for a revival. But I can tell you this testimony. Walking into that and giving away those things, there was no testimony in the natural. If you sit down and looked at it on pen and paper, and the church still had a mortgage on it, we were buying it from another church, we had just got into it, there wasn't enough people probably to support me, there wasn't enough this and that. And I remember getting over after the church came, and the men from Immokalee came and moved me from that city. It's a city of about 45 minutes from Immokalee. Moved me over with trucks and pickups on a particular Saturday. I remember it probably was the next week. I went from a guy that was driving up on huge construction sites with a lot of men, sitting there in my air-conditioned truck, on my cell phone, ordering materials, running invoices, talking to bunches and bunches of contractors, writing contracts, picking up receivables, running into a lot of people and had a bus, you know, a real hustling kind of life. I went from that to the next week having no business, standing by myself in a church saying, what am I doing here? What? Last week I had a whole bunch of people working for me. Last week, I had all these contracts. Now somebody else has those contracts. Somebody else has that business. Last week, I had a big house with a jacuzzi in the back, and a lot of times I'd sit in that jacuzzi and I'd tell Candy, you know, this is hard, Candy, but somebody's got to do it. And now the next week, I'm in this church, this small church, and I'm thinking, I'm thinking of all my competition that was running around out there that was my age and some of those guys I graduated with, and how they were prospering. And then my mind started thinking, you know what, I've still got a construction license. I can still do this, but I can do jobs on the side. I can do those, I can still make, because the church probably is not going to be able to pay me for me to survive. And I the Holy Spirit came in the room and he goes, you know what? You still don't believe. You still don't believe that I can provide for you. because you're still trying to figure out another way to supplement your income. I was like, oh my God, you mean I can't do nothing? He said, you can't do nothing. I mean, can I start a few side jobs? I mean, I can just do those on the... He said, nope, you can't do anything. Let me tell you something. I'm not saying all that to connect this into this offering tonight to say, if you give into this offering, you'll be blessed. What I'm connecting is this. Seek you first the kingdom. And He is faithful. Seek you first the kingdom. And He is faithful. Do what He says. And you'll have this testimony at the end. Did you lack anything? And you'll say, Father, I lacked nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Usherettes. These are big guys. We can't say usherettes. Grace Christian Fellowship is what you'll write it to. If you're writing a check. Let's pray. Father, bless you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings. To seek you first. To know you. You are faithful. You're not just faithful to the fivefold. You're not just faithful to the pulpit ministries and preachers who have testimonies of your faithfulness. Your faithfulness extends to everyone that will seek you, Lord, and open up their hearts and say, Father, you are my provider through Jesus Christ. Not through what I can give you, but what you have already given unto me. I receive this now. And so, Lord, speak to their hearts. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.